Happy Sabbath again. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. We thank you for the love that set it aside so that we can be recreated, so that we can come apart with those who are of like mind and like spirit. We ask now that each one of us would be filled with your Holy Spirit, so that he can give us spiritual eyes and ears to see what you would have us to know. Let us have the spirit of speaking for you and of listening for what you have to say to us, and that we will leave this place a little bit better than we came in, and give all of the praise and the glory to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, we are in the midst of the giving season. We have Christmas, we have Hanukkah, we have Kwanzaa. All of these are occasions when gifts are given. I don't know about your household, but around my household and with the people that I associated with before Christmas, there was always the little side conversations that were going on. What do you think she wants for Christmas? Can we afford this? What size does he wear? You know, trying to find out what Christmas presents and what surprises we can give on that particular day. How many of you got what you wanted for Christmas? We were all here, right? We all had our lives, and the Lord has blessed us in a beautiful way, and we need to give him the praise and the glory for that. You know, I had a question down here. What was the best Christmas present that you got for Christmas? Was it maybe a visit from an unexpected family member, a card, some clothes, electronics? It doesn't make any difference what the gift was. It was the thought behind whatever was given to you, right? And we appreciate that when we accept it. But we all know that despite everything that we have gotten in a temporal way, that there is one great gift. And we know who that great gift is. That great gift is Jesus Christ. He was the one who humbled himself. You know, he went from commanding angels to sleeping on the straw in a manger. He went from holding stars to clutching Mary's finger. The palm that held the universe was the one that took the nail of a soldier. Why? Because he loved us. And because he is that greatest gift. The best present ever didn't come from a store. And no gift ever had any greater worth. The gift of a child has given us more joy and love, hope and life, peace on earth. We all know about Jesus. We know how he was born in a manger. We know how he was cradled in his mother's arms. We know that angels came to announce his birth to the shepherds. We know that wise men came from afar to bring him presents. We know he grew up in very humble circumstances. We know he was tempted, tried, tested, yet without sin. We know he went through the passion in Gethsemane. We know that he went through the agony of the cross. We know that he was resurrected, that he ascended. And he is now in that most holy place, Jerry, that we were talking about this morning, in heaven. And he's ministering to us in that place. He is the greatest gift of all. But yet, there are some special and personal gifts that He has given to each one of us. He has given them to us because we have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. And of course, these are the spiritual gifts and blessings that He has bestowed upon us because we have let Him be the ruler of our destiny. Consider for a moment, if you will, what it was like in your life before you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Were you proud of who you were and what you were doing? Did you think that you were all that and a bag of chips too? What did you have then that you would consider important, that you could compare with what you have now after you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You know, there's one prominent Bible character who has answered that question in detail for us. And I'm going to read to you from Philippians 3, verses 4 through 7. And I'm reading the clear from the clear word because it is so clear in the clear word. And you know of whom I speak when he tells us who he was BC, before Christ, and who he was after he had an encounter with Jesus. And I'm talking about Saul, who later became Paul. Listen to his words, if you will. Beginning in verse 4, and I'm reading from the clear word. If anyone could have confidence in himself to earn salvation, I certainly could. And this is Paul speaking. I was circumcised an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin when I was 8 days old. I grew up and was trained in the strictest Pharisaic tradition. If ever there was a real Hebrew, I was one. And notice the use of I. He kept saying, I did this, I did that. It was all he. He was doing it. This was an external thing. And he goes on to say, I kept the Jewish laws so well that I was made a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish National Council. Sincere, and this is still Paul speaking, was I ever. In fact, I was so sincere that the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem entrusted me with the responsibility to rid the country of Christians. As far as external conformity to the law was concerned, I was blameless. Then he goes on in verse 7 to say, I once thought that all these external things would save me, but now I know they are worthless. My hope is not in myself and what I have done, but in Jesus Christ. Saul came to realize that all of these things that he was, who he grew up as being, meant nothing, that they were all rubbish. He goes on to say, everything I did before and all the honors I received are worthless compared to the priceless treasure of having Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Whatever I had and did was nothing but rubbish in comparison to knowing Him. And I wonder if we can look back over our lives and say that everything that we did before we came to Jesus, before we accepted Jesus in our life, was just rubbish and it meant nothing. But we have been transformed and we have been rejuvenated since we accepted Jesus into our lives. This is what Paul says, and this is the attitude that we need to have as we accept Jesus into our lives. He says in verses 9 and 10, now I have a righteousness which was given to me by Jesus Christ through faith in Him. This righteousness comes directly from God through faith and not through works. All I want is to know Christ more fully and to experience still more of the power of His resurrection in my life. in verse 9, he says that he has received a gift from God. And that gift from God, from Jesus, was the righteousness of Jesus. And Paul put that gift to work. That special gift and blessing that he received was the righteousness of Jesus. And he got it directly from Jesus when he was on his way to Damascus to persecute those who were following after Jesus. Paul's life was forever changed because he had received his call from the Lord Jesus Christ. He was given a gift and a special blessing that made an everlasting difference in his life and in the lives of the many who have been led to Jesus by his ministry. And that includes you and me as we read through and as we inhale the beautiful messages that he has given to us through the letters that he wrote in the New Testament. I'll grant you that Paul's conversion and ministry were spectacular and goes beyond that which most of us have experienced. But nonetheless, when we each have come to Jesus and have accepted him, he has given to us a special blessing and a gift. 1 Corinthians tells us that each of us has been given a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit to be used for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. Now, I've asked several members of this body today to share with you what gift and special blessings he or she has received as from having Jesus as Lord of their lives. And we'll begin with Lola.
My earliest memories are of going to Sabbath school and church with my grandmother, even before my mother joined the church. I learned to love Jesus, and I wanted to go to heaven. Mm. So I tried to be good, obey all the rules of the church. I was baptized as a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church when I was 11 years old, 68 years ago. All through my teens, I still tried to be good and follow all the rules, even though it made me a little different from the other teens. I had the privilege of attending Christian school for 2 years, and then Southern Missionary College for 2 years. I wasn't the most popular kid on the campus, but I did get along with my teachers pretty well. I was employed by the church as a church school teacher. I held offices in the Sabbath school and church, all the time trying to be good and follow the rules. I'm not telling you this to impress you as how good I was or I am. I made my share of mistakes. I did things that I wish I could undo. But I'm telling you this to make a point. God led me through into some very severe trials. The troubles and trials that led me to searching and asking, God, why? I have served you all these years. Why am I having to go through all these troubles and trials? What more do you want from me? The answer came slowly but surely, with much study and many fervent prayers. I don't want any more from you than what you have already been doing. Mm-hmm. But I have something for you. God wanted me to experience the glory of salvation that brings peace in the midst of the storm. Mm.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I owe God much more than just token obedience. I owe him my life, my all. If all the cattle were mine that roamed 1,000 hills, if all the gold in the world was deposited in my till, if all the world's great riches were enough to fill the sea, if it were all gathered together and it all belonged to me, I still would not have enough to pay the debt I owe. For each drop of blood he shed is worth more than I can know. Yet it was for me he died. Calvary paid the debt that I owe.
Amen. Thank you, Lola. And one of the very special gifts that he has given you is the gift of writing that poem that she read. She had written it herself. So God has given you a very special blessing, and we appreciate you, Lola. Anne?
What gift or special blessing I have received from having Jesus as Lord of my life? Well, first of all, I accepted Jesus as Savior of my life very early. But I think it has only been within the last 20 years that I have accepted him as Lord of my life, which means that I let him control. So the special gift is the gift of God esteem. The world teaches us that we should have self-esteem, but knowing Jesus has taught me that I should see others and myself as precious in the sight of God, loved though unlovable, forgiven though unworthy. And the blessing that I have since I've come to know Jesus is the blessing of forgiveness. Forgiveness which sets me free, that takes the weight off of my shoulders. And as the new insight to the Lord's Prayer, if I am to be forgiven by God, I must forgive others. No one has hurt me as much as I have hurt Jesus when I do not obey his will. Yet he loves me still. And one of the precious scriptures that I claim that I think that Jesus gave especially to me, knowing my personality, is that he said, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord." And he has been reasoning with me ever since.
Amen. God's esteem is much better than self-esteem, and to be able to forgive is the greatest gift of all. Thank you, Anne. Arlene.
Well, I have difficulty in talking to a group, but one-on-one, I can do fairly well. But God understands.
Amen.
I have received a gift. The Holy Spirit impresses me at times to talk to somebody or go visit them, send a letter and maybe a card. Sometimes he has impressed me to just go and sit down beside somebody. And I found one thing in common among all these people, and that's that they have a problem. And at times, I have gone to the people in this church with a problem, which they did not know it was the problem that I had with somebody else, and they have helped me solve it. Sometimes I've gone with the problems of somebody else, and they know about them, because it's something that I myself can't solve, and they have the information that I need. Once I was impressed to go to, I saw a lady sitting on the porch, and I was impressed to go to her, and I went to her, and I went up and I sat down, or she invited me up. I was up there, and I just said hello to her. She invited me up onto her porch, and she said, "Let's talk." And I said, "Well, what would you like to talk about?" And she said, "I have a lot of problems, and I don't want to be thinking about them." She said, "I want to get them off of my mind." And so we just started talking about flowers and about the home. And in the, I can't remember everything we talked about, but in the end, we got on creation. And we talked about the things that God had created and about the beautiful things on the earth. And she said, "You've really helped me." She said, I really feel at peace now." She said, "I feel so much better." And I left feeling better too. Mm-hmm. And another time was a young woman, who was dressed immorally. And I was impressed to talk to her. And as we were talking, I had the feeling that she was probably a prostitute. But she was different in that it seemed that down deep inside of her, there was something good, something of a kindness to her. And we would visit every couple of months. Maybe she'd come to my house, maybe I'd come to her house. We became friends. And one day she told me that she was going to Las Vegas and then on to California. I hadn't seen her for years. And when I moved down here, and then I went up to Pennsylvania to visit, and I saw her again. She told me about her life and how she knew she was doing wrong and that she wanted to change. She said she got a Bible. She was reading the Bible, but she said, "I didn't think God could ever forgive me for all the things that I had done." And she said she wouldn't give up. She just kept studying and studying. And then she found out that in the Bible that a lot of the people there weren't perfect either, that they had made mistakes. She said, "And I found God, and I'm now a Seventh-day Adventist."
Oh, praise the Lord.
Sometimes it takes a half an hour to talk. Sometimes it takes years. But this gift that has given me, in the end, I'm blessed by the people that I talk to.
Amen. And there are some of us who have that gift of personal contact, who relate better one-on-one. And I appreciate you for who you are and being able to do that, Arlene. Rita.
The gift that the Lord had given to me, before I came to the Lord, I grew up in church, going to Baptist church with my parents. And my mother always used to tell us that no matter what you do, always keep your hands in God's hand. And, you know, that stayed with me when I got grown and was out on my own and I run into problems because I was about like another Apostle Paul. I was a Saul. I did everything that I thought that I was big enough to do. And then one day, the Lord told me, "Say to clean up your life." And I didn't understand what he meant and all, but I went to the Lord and asked him, what did he mean? Because I talked to a friend of mine about it, and she said, "Well, maybe God wants you to clean your house." So I did that. And when I got through cleaning my house and mopping and scrubbing walls and windows and everything, after that, God still said, "Clean up your house." Well, he wasn't talking about the house that I was living in. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the soul my, you know, that belongs to him. And I asked God, I said, Lord, you let me know what you want. And I said, and I surrender to you. And the gift that the Lord gave me was he filled me with the Holy Ghost. And when he filled me with the Holy Ghost and all, he let me know that now I can reach him. I don't have to wait on no one else to talk to him on my behalf like he did the forefathers and all, you know, that I can come directly to the Lord. And I found out that through my life, because he let me know that he chose me out of the furnace of affliction, and that I would be alone mostly. And that's true, you know. Sometimes when I meet people, I tell God, look like everybody I meet turned to enemies. And because I'm very misunderstood, I got the prophecy that I'm very misunderstood because of how the Lord had chosen me to do things differently from what people feel like it should be done. But it's all in the name of the Lord. And I find out that when I'm alone, I can cry out to him and pull my heart out to God, and I won't have to worry about him snickering when I come in the building. Like some people, you talk to them, and when they see them, they're supposed to be in private, but everybody be looking at you and looking down at you. But when you take your problems to the Lord and leave them there, you know, you leave feeling free. And that's what God has anointed me to be free. I think, don't think of myself, because he said, look unto me and be saved. Because when I first came to the Lord, I was looking at the pastor and different ones that I thought knew, and it was confusing me. But God said, you look to me and be saved. And so from that day on, I look to the Lord, and whenever I see things or hear things, I talk to God about it, and I put it in his hand. And I just thank God that he has given me the spirit of meekness and humbleness and love. I wasn't like this before. Even when I met Wilhelmina, she know that the way that I am right now, I was not like that when I first began to take care of her mom. There was times when she was talking to me and I told her, you would never get me to believe that. And all, I mean, you know, it was just way out, because I had fell from the Lord, being misled and everything. But I just thank God that he brought me back. He brought me back full circle. And I felt the transformation in my life. He transformed me. And I can truly say, you know, that God is the Lord of my life.
Amen. So the Holy Spirit has influenced you, and it's going to be Gabriel next. The Holy Spirit has influenced you to come directly to God and receive from him what you need to know, and that's great. Some of you are probably saying, all of these people who are speaking and sharing are women. I did ask some men, and the men said no, so that's why. Okay. Gabriel.
I'm home for that. I don't ask Robert. So I'm
okay.
I don't know where to start just sharing the gifts I received since I know God. I know I grew up in a church, but the first thing I received and physically felt when I met him was the peace. You know, he brought peace in my life, and I was so happy for this. And from there on, he led me always, you know. And like when I didn't see myself like I was talented or do something in a church. The only gift I thought I have is just to be to serve others. But God brought me, you know, to be a leader, you know, youth leader in a church, and I did a lot of things, and it's not because of me, it's because of his grace.
Man.
And he brought me all the way, you know. For 20 years he led me, and you know, I can't complain of anything. He gave me gifts each and every day. And even now, you know, when I wake up, I look and I can't believe that he was so good to me and led me so far. And I'm so grateful for everything he did. I'm so grateful for everything he did. He was good to me.
He is good to all of us.
Yes. And even today, you know, like every morning when I wake up and I go to work, I always pray, God, use me for your to bless others and to be a light for the world around me.
Yeah. Since you have been here, we have seen the gifts that the Lord has given you. We see that you have the gift of song, you have the gift of hospitality, you have the gift of peace, you say, and the gift of leadership. So we are just so proud of having you and Robert here, even though he was not going to share with us what he... I appreciate each one of you who agreed to share with us the gifts that God has given to you. And we could go around this church, and each one of you, because you are here, you have a gift. Because once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, he has given you a gift. Now, I see some kind of blank looks on some of your faces, like, duh, what is my gift? I don't know. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, you should know. Because 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that when we come to Jesus and when we give our lives to him, he has given to each one of us a spiritual gift, at least one. And some of us have more than one. Now, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, I would recommend that you take time to study 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. In those chapters of the Bible, the Holy Spirit has written out some of the gifts that he has poured out to the church. And the church, you are the body of the church. You have received those gifts. And we are each responsible for putting those gifts into action. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, read, study, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what your gift is. Or ask somebody who knows you. Because they see what you are doing. And they see what you have facility with. And they can tell you better than you know yourself what your spiritual gift is. And I would encourage each one of us to know that, especially now that we are planning an evangelistic crusade for the beginning the 20th of February. We need to combine our spiritual gifts with the spiritual gifts of Pastor Al and Grant. That will be their gift of teaching, in order to bring this remnant message to the good citizens of Aiken County and the surrounding area. But if we don't put our gifts into action, then we are missing out on a big part of what the Holy Spirit would have us to do. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be blessed by knowing that we are putting to good use the blessings that he has so graciously bestowed upon us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for being so generous and good and loving to us. And we thank you that when we come to you and when we surrender ourselves to you, that you just pour out your love to us and all kinds of blessings and spiritual gifts. We pray that we will identify what each one of our gifts is and that we will put it to the use that you would have us to use in the arena in which you have put us, because each one of us is different. Each one of us has been placed in a very special situation to tell others about the love that you have for us. We know that you are coming again. The prophecy said that you were going to come the first time, and you did. And the prophecy says that you will come again in glory to take your people home. Let us be prepared to go with you and to bring others along that we have encouraged and that we have planted seeds for, and the fruit has grown, so that you can receive the praise and the glory. And when you come, we will bow at your feet, and we will throw the crowns that you've given us at your feet, and we will worship you forever and give you the praise and the glory. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.